Well, there's a lot happening here in John chapter 10. Now, last week, we started our journey through this chapter, and we were blessed to spend our time focused on the shepherd and the sheepfold. And so we spent the bulk of our time considering to identify what is the sheepfold, but also to see what responsibilities fall to the sheep. We're going to kind of continue some of that vein this week. Well, we did have the opportunity to talk about the many blessings of the visible church and the blessings of the invisible church. Many ways that we are blessed by the church itself comes in this analogy with the idea of the sheepfold introduced by Jesus. We understood the sheepfold to be the church. That did give us an opportunity to examine the many blessings that we have in the church, and there is much to say on that subject. But I do want us to consider specifically today the sheep and connected to the church, some of the teachings of the church and why we teach some of those things, because they come from the shepherd. Our Lord Jesus is very careful in giving this illustration that is before us. He makes a number of illustrations here regarding the sheep, a number of applications to us, and these are things that we do not want to overlook as we come today to serve and to honor and to follow our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question comes, are you a sheep? Are you one of the sheep that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, if you would answer yes, well then certain responsibilities fall to you. If you would be the sheep, then Jesus tells you what to do in this chapter. And that'll be part of our division of this chapter today. There are two main categories before us that our Lord talks about. First of all, hearing the sheep, hearing the shepherd, the sheep hearing the shepherd. How do we do that today? We want to look at how we hear our shepherd. Secondly, obeying our shepherd. You know, as well as I, that hearing doesn't always translate into obedience. Hearing does not always mean that we're obeying the shepherd. So we'll make those two divisions today. First of all, we must hear what the shepherd says. And I think actually we often struggle with that. I confess to you that I do, and I know you do as well. We often even struggling in hearing our shepherd. But secondly, we'll see that not only must we hear what the shepherd says, but we must obey what the shepherd says. Both of these are things that we all struggle with in our Christian walk, and they are both things that are clarified for us by our Lord Jesus in John chapter 10. So let's look to our first division before us here with the hearing of what the shepherd says. You'll see there's a abbreviated outline in your worship order. The shepherd must hear, or the sheep must hear the shepherd. Let's look to that. Look to verse 1. Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens," and here comes your responsibility, here comes my responsibility, "the sheep hear his voice." There's much to meditate on this particular command given to us as sheep. If we want to examine the responsibilities that we have as sheep today, well, the first thing listed in our text is that the sheep hear his voice. Now, as we said last week, perhaps stating the obvious, our Lord here is not trying to tell us how to domesticate farm animals. That's not the point of the passage. The passage before us here is Jesus is communicating some important truths for his children to follow. And this is for our instruction. And incidentally, we have to notice here, the example given by our Lord is quite simple, isn't it? It's not as though we have to follow some very complex thinking to understand a sheep following after a shepherd. These are things that a child can understand. I'm glad that there are things that I can understand. I can wrap my brain around this concept, and all of us can. The Lord speaks to us on our level here in this chapter. We want to see that if we are the sheep and Christ is the shepherd, then how do we hear the words of our shepherd today? How do we hear the words of our shepherd? How can we make sure that we are keeping and upholding this responsibility that is listed for us in verse 3? Well, isn't it interesting today that our shepherd doesn't leave us in the dark? Our shepherd doesn't leave us without direction today. And though I find that it's possible that someone could listen for an audible voice from the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that this happens on occasion. People desire to do this. Our Lord has never promised to give us an audible voice from heaven because he's given us his written word. And so the question then comes to you, how then do we hear the shepherd who has spoken to us? We hear in his word. And we see this over and over again made very clear to us in the word of God that he has revealed his will to us. It is in his word. Isn't that wonderful, really, just to think about what a blessing that the word of God is? We don't have to guess what the shepherd says to us today. And we're not responsible to do things beyond what the shepherd has said. There is a word of God before us, and that is how we know how to follow the shepherd. We have to hear his voice. We must hear it through the word of God. Now, we're broadly looking at the means of grace. And here, if you would, write these down. I'm going to actually cover quite a few catechism questions today. Write these down and look these up later. I'll try to read a few of them in our limited time. But listen to the larger catechism question 154. It's a question you may be familiar with. It asks, what are the outward means, what are the ways that whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation? And that's what we're talking about today, is communication, right? The shepherd is speaking. That's communication. So another way we could even ask the question here in the larger catechism question 154, what are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation? We might say, well, how does the shepherd talk to his sheep? That's another way we could connect this to our passage today. And the answer is very short, but it's very much to the point. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to his church the benefits of his mediation are all his ordinances, especially the word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. So the simple question today, dads, as you ask your children later today, what was the sermon about in the morning, and they give you a great answer. One of the questions you could ask them is, how does the shepherd speak to the sheep? Well, how does Jesus speak to his sheep today? And hopefully the good answer that would come from the children is that he speaks to us through his word, through the means of grace, but very specifically to us through the word of God for our time this morning. Through the word, through sacrament, and through prayer, Christ does communicate to his church. And what a beautiful thing that is. I love the fact that I don't have to guess what the Lord desires of me today. I don't have to make things up. I don't have to be creative. I don't have to wonder and to go to bed at night and to be curious. I wonder what God's will is for my life. You notice how often we ask those questions? I can recall a time in my life when that's all I thought about, is I wonder what God's will is. Well, through some good teaching and some good instruction over the years, I finally realized that God's will is communicated in his word. And there are many things that I, at the time, I was not obeying. And so God had already told me what to do, but I didn't want to do those things. I wanted him to tell me what the future was. You know, I wanted God to be like a crystal ball. Well, that's very interesting that often we desire to know the future, but we don't want to obey what God says. That's what's before us in our text today. The shepherd is speaking, and we'll see some things that he says. Are you obeying these things? Is what we will come to ask the question for each of these points. Well, we find here a very clear warning then also given to you and I, given to the church today. we see that we are required then to know how the shepherd speaks. It is interesting to see the different ways, do a little investigation into that, the different ways that people in the church, the broader Christian church today, how do they think Jesus speaks? It'd be interesting to hear all the answers that come, because they would say in many, many different ways. Well, we are limiting that today. We're saying that Jesus speaks to his sheep through word, sacrament, and prayer. Through the word of God, very specifically, we see before us. I think this is actually printed in your worship order, if you'd follow along as I read the Confession of Faith from chapter 1 of the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to read this twice today for both of our applications, but listen or follow along. About the Holy Scriptures, although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, so we know those things from the creation itself, yet they are not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of his will which is necessary unto salvation. Therefore, it pleased the Lord at sundry times and in diverse manner to reveal himself and to declare that his will unto the church, and afterward for the better preserving and propagating of the truth, and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruptions of the flesh, and the malice of Satan and of the world, to commit the same wholly unto writing, which make it the Holy Scripture to be most necessary, those former ways of God revealing his will unto his people being now ceased. So very clearly the Lord Jesus is speaking to us today. How does he do that? Through the means of grace, but very clearly through the word of God. The sacraments also speak to us, but we wouldn't know what they mean apart from the word. See, they're dependent upon the word of God for their meaning. So the word of God is that primary way that we hear from and know what the shepherd says to us. Now it may seem like, well, that's so obvious. That's just a very simple thing. Well, then the question comes to you. Do you hear what your shepherd says? And a couple of questions flow from that are, well, do you spend time in the word of God? Now, here's where the application becomes a little difficult, because we may realize that we don't spend the amount of time that we should listening to what Jesus says. We know that we get distracted. This is a busy world. There are lots of other things for us to do in our day to our disadvantage in the hearing of God's word. So an application would be to be careful that you do spend a proper amount of time and a proper amount of meditation and prayer upon the words of your shepherd today. So it's not just a simple question, do you hear the shepherd? It's how are you hearing the shepherd? One of the ways that the shepherd speaks is through the preached word. And there are a number of applications in the larger catechism when it comes to the preaching of the word of God. Do you properly prepare for hearing from your shepherd as it comes to the preached word? Do you properly show diligence in the hearing of the shepherd speaking to you through the preached word? Do you make proper applications from the shepherd speaking to you through the preached word? You see how we're making this statement along? Then that preaching is one of the ways that you do hear from your shepherd today. And God has chosen to have it come through the imperfect means of a preacher. And we'll look at some of this in future weeks. But do you properly apply sermons? Can you go home and someone says, well, what was a sermon about? I don't remember. Maybe this is a good time to maybe take better notes, or to be better at discussing with your brothers and sisters, or to try to make application of the sermons in your life. If a person, and we could make another application, would be if a person doesn't go to church, if a person doesn't attend, well, then they're not hearing properly from their shepherd. So there are a number of ways that you and I, each of us, we fall short in our hearing from our shepherd, whether in personal study, whether in our attendance in corporate worship, whether in our attendance to hearing the word of God, we all fall short. Well, there were two divisions today, and we will spend more time on this first one in weeks to come. But secondly, we want to see that not only must we hear what the shepherd says, but we must go where the shepherd goes. We must make application of his word. We must go where he leads. So hearing and doing are our basic division today. Look at this second part of verse 3. Well, we'll just pick back up with 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. They follow him. So there's a hearing and there's a following that occurs here at the beginning of our chapter, for they know his voice. So the second responsibility that we see of sheep, which is of you and I here in chapter 10, is to go where the shepherd leads. This goes beyond simply hearing. It is an obedience of God's word. Now, here might be a problem that you might sense in your own life. Maybe you spend lots of time in the Bible. Maybe you do hear the words of the shepherd, but maybe you just don't do them. And you know, maybe that's where the struggle is in your life. That is the point. That's the point of application. We have to be careful. It's not just about listening to or reading the word of God for 8 hours a day. It's about doing what the shepherd says, which is a different thing. And we each are struggling with this each and every day. Now, last week we did note the shepherd, first of all, in our passage, leads the sheep into the sheepfold. So we already spent some time there, that's one of our responsibilities, is to be a part of the church and to be a part of what the shepherd has given to us. But we want to see then that the comfort and the safety of the church is not just simply for those things. It's also for instruction to continue and to be able to hear more and more what the shepherd says. Well, this is where we're going to go the rest of our time this morning. We're going to look at around 10. I didn't quite make a complete list here, but the 10 different ways that the shepherd speaks to us. And 10 different ways or 10 different things that are taught by our shepherd. Now, the point of this is not to look at 10 different doctrines and so that you can pass a test at the end of the day. That's not the point. The point is that your shepherd is telling you of these doctrines for your comfort and for your growth and for your benefit. So it's so interesting that sometimes we get so... I love doctrine. I love to study. We love to teach that. That's important. But it's not for the sake of itself. It's not just so that you can be so much smarter than your neighbor or that kind of a thing. Doctrine is there for our doing. And so this is one of the things I want to impress upon you today, is to see that doctrine is not something that you only hear. Doctrine is something you obey. Doctrine is part of what Jesus teaches. And it's actually amazing. Just briefly giving you a survey of what Jesus teaches doctrinally in this chapter is actually quite amazing. 10, I'll have trouble going through 10. There are actually more like 20 different things that Jesus teaches us doctrinally. Again, not so that you can pass a test, but so that you will be better sheep. Because this is what Jesus desires of you. He doesn't desire, for example, I'll just pluck one out. Let's look at the perseverance of the saints as taught in our chapter. Okay, Jesus doesn't just want to teach you this doctrine. You need to know it, but he gives you that for your comfort. There are going to be times when you don't feel saved. But Jesus is going to tell you that no one can pluck you out of the hand of the Father. You see, that's for your comfort. That's for your good. That's for your application. It's not just so you'll know something. It's so that you will follow him. If you're not understanding that you can't lose your salvation, then you will flounder in your following of the shepherd. You see that? So that's kind of where we're going here in the second part of this chapter for today. Let's pick up with verse 5. The first thing that Jesus teaches his sheep is to avoid the false shepherds. Now, I do want to spend more time on this next week, and just specifically on the hireling and the false shepherds, so I'm going to try to go briefly here. But Jesus says in verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. See those responsibilities? You're supposed to do that as a sheep, following the shepherd. You're supposed to avoid them, you're supposed to flee from them, and they do not know the voice of strangers. Do not know the voice of strangers. We recognize the one who is the hireling, who is not the Lord Jesus Christ. And continuing on, in verse 8, the sheep did not hear them. In verse 12, the wolf leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling. That's why we're avoiding them. Again, not just for the intellectual knowledge of knowing who the hireling is, but so that you can avoid the hireling. And isn't it amazing? A lot of the troubles that come into our Christian walk and troubles in our lives are because we just don't listen to the shepherd. How many times in your life have you followed a hireling in the church? How much time do we have this morning? I've made a lot of mistakes in who I followed and the people that I listened to. Well, John 10 does a pretty good job of instructing me, and I could have avoided a lot of pain. But the Lord does use that in my life to help me to be a better sheep. Now, it is almost shocking to know how quickly sheep will follow false shepherds in our day. And I want to reserve that for next time, because I do think we need to spend some time on that. The second thing we see here is that, if we would say that the first might have to do with church government, with properly knowing who is called and who is not, saving that for next time. The second thing we see then that Jesus teaches us in our passage is about divine revelation. Another subject that many Christians struggle with. Look at verse 24. Look at what Jesus says. He says that the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." You see, they're assuming that Jesus hadn't said anything. But you and I know that's not true. Right, Jesus is the living word, the word of God. The whole entire Old Testament was already there in front of them, telling them who Jesus was. Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered them. Now, Jesus says three words, but I want you to see the importance of these three words. He says, "I told you." I've told you already. I've told you, not only in his verbal words here, we see the Lord Jesus, but he is explaining to us then the doctrine of divine revelation. Jesus had clearly stated his purpose, his identity, and his relationship with the Father multiple times, but they did not listen. Let's go back to our printed order here, and we see that of the Holy Scriptures. This is one of the ways, I won't read through it once more, but you can see here, this is one of the ways that Jesus had told them. Was through his word. This is one of the ways that Jesus had spoken to his sheep, was by his revealed word. Look at how often we struggle with this as Christians. Look how often the word of God is not sufficient for us. We want some other way for Jesus to speak to us. We want some other thing other than what he's given to us. Let's learn here from Christ's words. If we are his sheep, we are following him, he is instructing us. Let's learn the sufficiency of the scriptures when Jesus says, "I told you." The sufficiency of the scriptures. He did tell them. Over and over, in fact, in the Old Testament, we see that Christ had clearly revealed himself in Genesis, in Exodus, in Leviticus. All throughout every book of the Old Testament, the beautiful types and shadows of the tabernacle and the sacrifices, all of those things clearly pointed to Jesus Christ as the coming Messiah. In other words, Jesus hadn't simply whispered that he was the Christ. In fact, for years and years, thousands of years, over and over thousands of times, every time a sacrifice was made, Jesus had thundered from the heavens who he was. Every time the sun rose in the sky on the Sabbath day, since the creation of the world, we have seen the proclamation of the rest that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not a secret who he was. Every time a man and a woman were married, since the garden, since the creation, the relationship between Christ and his church was illustrated for all of mankind. That's Jesus proclaiming who he is. Not to go too far off track, but it is interesting to notice, incidentally, that since the beginning of the world, even pagans understood that marriage was between one man and one woman. Until the United States of America came along in the year 2015, and suddenly we're smarter than all of every person and nation that went before us. Because now we don't understand that marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, the marriage between a man and a woman pictures the relationship between the Lord Jesus and his church. You see, that identifies Christ. Every sacrifice that was ever made, all the blood that was ever spilled, Christ was revealed. Every moment in the tabernacle and in the temple, every word that the prophets spoke, all of the psalms that were sung, the king was proclaimed and Jesus Christ was identified. Jesus says, I told you. The larger catechism, question 34, says, how was the covenant of grace administered under the Old Testament? The covenant of grace was administered under the Old Testament by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the Passover, and other types and ordinances, which did all foresignify Christ then to come. And they were for that time sufficient to build up the elect and faith and the promised Messiah. Jesus says, I told you. I told you. Again, the history books of the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Prophets, Jesus is proclaiming that he has told us. Now there's a good application for you and I today. As you hear the word of God and you hear the words of Jesus, my friends, today if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to stand before him someday and to claim an excuse for your failure to follow Christ. He says to you as well, I told you. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ today. While his name is clearly put forward to you, it is clearly proclaimed. Seek him while he may be found. And you see that pattern there. We'll go through these a little more briefly now. But look very quickly then to see some of the other truths that Jesus gives to us here about how we should follow him for our comfort and for our growth. The second thing we see happens in verse 25. Again, very briefly, but Jesus says, he's already said, I told you, but now what does he say? But you do not believe. You do not believe. See, this is Jesus then showing us that just simply being told is not enough to overcome our natural fallen nature. There must be some other thing that happens for us to believe. He's told them, but they do not believe. Our shepherd is teaching you and I this today, so that we will know that then our following and understanding of the Word of God does not fall upon our ability. It does not fall upon our intelligence. It falls upon the work of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. It's not good enough to simply hear the Word of God. It will always fall upon the heart of stone unless something else happens. Unless God himself, through the work of the Holy Spirit, does something to change the heart. So in these very short words, our Lord Jesus is teaching some pretty deep theological principles that are expounded throughout his word. The larger catechism, again for your notes, make this note, larger catechism question 4. How doth it appear that the scriptures are the word of God? How do you know that today? Well, the scriptures manifest themselves to be the word of God in a couple of ways. First of all, by their majesty and purity. That's wonderful. We can see this. By the consent of all the parts and the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God. Yes. By their light and their power to convince and convert sinners, to comfort and build up believers into salvation. But, our catechism is very clear, something else has to happen. But the Spirit of God, bearing witness by and with the scriptures in the heart of man, is alone able to fully persuade it that they are the very word of God. And so all of these religious leaders who were doubting Jesus in John 10 had the word, but they did not have the spirit. And so they did not understand what Jesus taught. Is there an instruction for you and I today when it comes to the teaching of our shepherd? Yes, the instruction is that you can hear the word of God and know the word of God and still not believe. So understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your Christian walk. What if you neglect the role of the Holy Spirit in your Christian walk? Well, then you'll think highly of yourself that you are just smarter than your neighbor. You're not. I'm not. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that enables the Word to be effectual in your life. So see our Lord Jesus making this application about the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we see the purposes of the miracles. Look in verse 25. Continuing verse 25. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. All through this, the Gospels, I don't have time to dwell on this morning, but all through the Gospels we see a misunderstanding of the miracles of Jesus. What's the point of them? Well, they show who he is, and they're not seeing that. So again, we can fail to understand the miracles and why they're there. Jesus tells us here in John 10, for the sheep to understand. Moving quickly, look at verse 26. We see here the sovereignty of God is taught by our Lord Jesus. Do you think the sovereignty of God is something important for the sheep to understand today? I think it's very important for us to understand the sovereignty of God. We would be very miserable and without a knowledge that God is in control of all things. Well, look at what Jesus says so that you'll know this. Look what he says in verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Very important for us to understand that not everyone in the world is one of Christ's sheep. Jesus says that you're not one of my sheep. So we understand then that there's a division among those in the world. We fall into the categories of being the sheep that belong to Christ and those who do not. The larger catechism speaks of this. We looked at the confession here actually, chapter 3 of God's eternal decree. I think I have this in your notes. Yes, number 3:6 is there for you to look up later. As God hath appointed the elect unto glory, so hath he by the eternal and most free purpose of his will foreordained all the means thereunto. Wherefore, they who are elected, being fallen in Adam, are redeemed by Christ, are effectually called unto him in Christ by his Spirit, working in due season, and they are justified, adopted, sanctified, and kept by his power through faith unto salvation. But we're very clear to see from the Word of God, and interestingly, John 10:26 is the place that our confession goes to show this. Neither are any other redeemed by Christ, effectually called, justified, adopted, sanctified, and saved, but the elect only. So our Lord Jesus is telling us this today for our comfort and for our knowledge, for our understanding. He's not just simply speaking. There's an obedience that must come from that. How many Christians today believe in the sovereignty of God over salvation? Not very many. We say we believe that, but we don't walk in obedience to that doctrine because we often struggle against it. See, that's for our obedience that Jesus has told us about the doctrine of salvation, about his sovereignty. Look at the doctrine of justification in verse 28. I give them eternal life. Just in those simple words, there's so much communicated there for us. Jesus is our shepherd. He's communicating to us how he saves. Here our Lord Jesus says so very clearly how man is saved. He gives eternal life. How many look to themselves for eternal life? How many look to their own abilities? Jesus says that he gives it. Jesus says as well that he gives eternal life. So it is not earned. It is not by our efforts. Now, the Jewish leaders that are rejecting Christ are rejecting the only way of salvation. Jesus shows you and I here in his words, by the word of God, that there is only salvation in Christ. Jesus teaches his sheep. We also see then that the sheep who belong to Christ, what did he already say about his sheep? They will hear this. Isn't that interesting how many people who follow Christ do not believe this verse? They don't hear his words. We see then many will appeal to their own works for salvation. Many look to their own perceived goodness for salvation. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, I give it. Those who are not of the sheep of Christ, they will look to other means of salvation, and my friends, they will not find it. I want to notice then that Jesus gives eternal life in our passage here. He gives eternal life. It is His to give, not ours to earn. The salvation offered by Christ is freely given by Christ. He is not bound to give it. He is not in our debt to give salvation. So much taught by our Lord Jesus. Is that just again so that we can pass a test? It's for our being led by Him in our Christian walk. Confession of Faith, chapter 11 and verse 1 on justification. Good for your reference there for this afternoon. Why does the shepherd want you to hear this today? Don't you think it would change your Christian walk and how you act as a sheep toward your shepherd if you think you earn your salvation? That completely changes your entire Christian walk if Jesus is the one giving salvation, or if you get it in some other way. You and I, as sheep, this is for our following of the shepherd. Another reason we see before us, the verse 28, the state of man after death. Look at verse 28. And they shall never perish. Wow, what a comfort that this would be to one who was following the Lord Jesus, to the sheep who follow Him. He's communicating this to us for our good, for our growth, for our walk. Here, the Lord answers the question of the ages, in fact. Isn't this the question that everyone has? What happens to man when he dies? Jesus just answered it for you. He's a shepherd. You and I are one of the sheep, so we follow after Jesus. More specifically, he says, what happens to those who die in Christ? Chapter 32 of our confession, we state it this way, the state of men after death and the resurrection of the dead. The bodies of men after death return to dust and see corruption. But their souls, which neither die nor sleep, having an immortal subsistence, immediately return to God who gave them. The souls of the righteous, being then made perfect in holiness, are received into the highest heavens, where they behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies. And the souls of the wicked are cast into hell, where they remain in torments and utter darkness, reserved to the judgment of the great day. Besides these two places, for souls separated from their bodies, the Scripture acknowledgeth none. So our Lord Jesus says here, they will never perish, those who are in Him. Should that be a comfort to us today? Absolutely, it should be in our Christian walk. More words of comfort come from our Lord here. All words we're bound to hear. Look at verse 28 continuing. And neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Probably one of the most controversial subjects in the Christian church today. Some say security of the believer. We say perseverance of the saints. How many Christians believe this doctrine in our world today? I don't know the numbers, but it's not very many that would believe it properly as we see taught by our Lord Jesus here before us. These words are hard for many to follow. Many do not believe. But remember, we made the connection that doctrine is not just for your hearing, it's for your doing. It's for your knowledge. Would we be able to stand against persecution better if we understand what Jesus says in verse 28? Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Do you see how that would make us to be stronger in this world? How we would be better in our Christian walk? How we would be better sheep? But many Christians don't believe this. Now, the application for you and I believe this, but I don't always live like I believe this. And I think we all fall short in knowing that we cannot be snatched from the Father's hand, from Christ's hand. Actually, four places in our confession reference John 10:28. I've got those listed for you here on your handout. I'd like you to look those up at some point today. But just very quickly, what is the union which the elect have with Christ? References John 10:28. The union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's grace, whereby they are spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably joined to Christ as their head and husband. Does that give you comfort today as a sheep, the following of your shepherd, that you are inseparably joined to him? It should. Secondly, we see the larger catechism question 79 says that we can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, John 10:28. Where would you go in the Word of God when someone says you can lose your salvation? John 10:28. Just go to John 10:28 and let someone try to convince you how you can be snatched out of the hands of Jesus. You can't be, because Jesus says this, for our growth and our edification. The Confession of Faith, chapter 8, on justification, number 5, says that they can never fall away from the state of justification, John 10:28. Can never fall away from it. The Confession of Faith, chapter 17, on the perseverance of the saints, says that from all which ariseth also the certainty and infallibility thereof, of those who can never fall away from God. We see that the perseverance of saints depends not on their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election. That's taught by Jesus here in John 10:28. Flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father. If we can be snatched away, then God's love is not free and unchangeable. Upon the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, if we can be snatched away, then Jesus Christ does not have an effectual intercession for us. He's failed. Anyone who says we can fall away is proclaiming the failure of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think John 10 tells us what to do if someone teaches us that. What does it say to do? We run from that. Flee from that. Anyone who tells you Christ isn't sufficient, run away. Because it's a lie. Jesus teaches us here in our confession and our larger catechism stated very clearly that we will persevere. Now, friends, today, why do we dwell on these important doctrinal points? Because they're so hard for us to believe in our natural state. I want to contribute to my salvation naturally, and I always fall back to that. But the Word tells me I can't, and I don't. We find as well, and again, I've fallen in this category before, but there will be times when you and I will wake up in the morning and it will seem to us most assuredly as the sun rises that God has abandoned us. Have you ever felt like God has abandoned you? Can you think of that time? I'm thinking of a couple of times. I was wrong to think that, but where would have been a good place to go in the Word of God to find comfort? John 10:28. The shepherd's given me that for my comfort today. He's given it to you for your comfort. On those days when we doubt God, John 10:28 should come to mind. And it should be our joy that nothing can take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are distressed, whenever you doubt, it is because you do not find comfort in the words of your shepherd. Whenever I doubt my salvation, whenever I don't feel comfortable in Christ, it is because I doubt John 10:28. Romans 8, verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, as if I couldn't even think of anything else to say, Paul says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could the Bible be any more clear on this doctrine that Jesus teaches us in John 10:28? Do you have assurance today, Christian, that you are in Christ? Do you ever doubt the power of God to keep you? You shouldn't. John 10:28 is given for your benefit because you're a sheep like me following after our shepherd today. The last two we'll just mention because we covered these in recent weeks. Look at verse 8. Verse 29 is really teaching us about the mediatorial kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus says, I'll just tell you twice, just for your comfort here in John 10:28. But he says that he's given them to me. That's the mediatorial work of our Lord Jesus. I'm not going to dwell on that. We've just done that. The Trinity is also taught for us. Look at verse 30. I and my Father are one. Is that important? That you know and understand the Trinity from the Word of God? Jesus says this here as he's teaching his sheep for their comfort and for their walk. John 10:30 is referenced in the larger catechism, question 9 and question 36. It's important for our understanding of the Trinity to hear what Jesus says in verse 30. My friends, we come to a close of our time today. See and hear the great amount of instruction that is here specifically for the sheep who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not simply for our hearing today. It is for our doing. It is for our obedience. Do you understand each of these doctrines? Do you follow them? Do you obey them? Do you live your life like they are true? Sadly, we often fall in an understanding of them. Christian, if you are to follow your shepherd today, you must first of all hear his words. And that means that certain responsibilities fall to you regarding the word of God. Have you met those responsibilities? Do you hear your shepherd? If we will hear, we must listen. We must prepare. We must show diligence and great care in our use of the shepherd's words. Have all of us done that sufficiently? Let us give greater effort in our hearing of our shepherd. Well, secondly, Christian, you must follow the shepherd. He leads you into the sheepfold. He leads you to his word. He leads you to his doctrine that is spread out for you in the words here in his word, especially in John chapter 10 before us today. These very deep doctrinal truths are for our Christian walk. Let no man follow Christ and assume that doctrine isn't important. To our shepherd, divine revelation is pretty important. He teaches us here in John 10. The work of the Holy Spirit is pretty important. And he teaches in John 10. The doctrine of justification and his sovereignty, those are pretty important doctrines. Jesus teaches them in John 10. The state of the Christian after death, the perseverance of the believer, the Trinity, and the mediatorial kingship of Christ, those things are pretty important today. But look how many sheep do not believe and do not obey these doctrines. I would pray that we would not fall into that category today, that we could improve our obedience of them and our understanding of them. Christian, be encouraged in your following of Christ. He is your shepherd. We are his sheep. These are comforts for us in his word. Let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, grant that we might be better hearers of our shepherd. Help us that we would follow after Christ no matter where he leads. In his name we pray. Amen.